Well, I'm here to share the few final two thoughts I have tonight to finish up. And I guess the question that I've been asking myself in this Christmas season, maybe we can ask you and you can think about it, is who are we pleasing? You know, God's pleased with us in our everyday lives when it's marked with gratitude. In Romans, it says that in the last days, there are going to be men and women that will be ungrateful. It's in Romans 1. They'll take things for granted, assume they are owed something, or have a right to take but no obligation to give. And I think we can see signs of that in our culture today. And in the midst of that, we as believers have an opportunity to stand as a light in a dark place by displaying a thankful and a giving heart. Ephesians 2:5 says, our lives were formerly characterized by the deeds of darkness. And the key word here is now, if you're a believer, we have become fruitful. You know, one of the things, the verse last year that each year I try to take a verse and kind of just meditate, use it, and let the Lord use it in my life. And one was in Romans 5, it says that God demonstrated His love towards us when we were yet sinners. And you know, there's a saying that says, they will not care to hear what we say until they know we care. And that's something that within our families, the people we work with, sometimes we like to take our Bible and thump it over their heads. But you know, if all we want is a notch on our belt and we don't care about people, they see it. And I think a lot of people reject that kind of Christianity. So I was reading something this week from Chuck Swindoll, and he posed this question. It's kind of interesting that Gary and I never talked, but he asked this question, or posed this question. Have you ever thought about giving something away every day in a year leading up to Christmas? Consider something as simple as mend a quarrel. Seek out a forgotten friend. Write a long overdue love note. Hug someone tightly and whisper, I love you so. Forgive an enemy. You know, it does free the soul. Be gentle and patient with an angry person. Gladden the heart of a child. Find time to keep a promise. Make or bake something for someone else anonymously. Release a grudge. And listen. Speak kindly to a stranger. Smile. Laugh a little. Laugh a little more. Take a walk with a friend. Lessen your demands on others. Play some beautiful music during the evening meal. Apologize if you were wrong. Turn off the television set and talk. Or as Marion would say, turn off your cell phone. Do the dishes for the family. Pray for someone who helped you when you were hurt. Give a soft answer even though you feel strongly. Encourage an older person. Point out one thing you appreciate most about someone you work with or live near to. Offer to babysit for a weary mother. Now, as I shared all these things, I'm not sure if you noticed that most of these things are free. It just takes time, and it takes observation. And sometimes, you know, we are so in a hurry. And the older I get, the more I realize that life is not a race, it's a journey. So this Christmas, who are you trying to please? The worker tries to please his boss, the child his parents, the student his teacher. But as a believer, we must have a heartfelt commitment to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, we make it our goal to please Him. So let's make Christmas one long extended gift of ourselves. Unselfish, without announcement, obligation, or reservation or hypocrisy. This is Christianity, isn't it? The second thought is the baby grew up. And see, we can't do any of those things that I just shared without the baby that grew up. There's an essay that says, we can miss the point of the Christmas story. We come so charmed with the story of the baby that we grow sentimental about it. But if it doesn't demand any vital change in the way you live or think, the great question is this. Is your Christmas still only a story about a baby? Or is it about a person into whom the baby grew? Who came to redeem the world from its sins, who calls us into partnership with His great and mighty purposes. If we read in Matthew 1, this is something sometimes when we read scriptures, sometimes we read it and we don't really get a total meaning. And that's why sometimes we need to kind of really meditate on it. Sometimes we miss something. And here's one of the things I missed here. I've read this a lot of times. Is in the story it says, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and he said, you are to name him Jesus. But see, right in the midst of that, he tells us what his purpose is for. For he will save his people from their sins. And it is only as we see the birth of Christ in the light of his crucifixion and resurrection that we're able to grasp the full meaning of Christ's coming. Okay, this Christmas, with our eyes wide open, and we respond to God with love and commitment for the gift of his Son, let's focus our thoughts and actions and motivations toward honoring the baby who grew up and died for our sins. That's Christianity, isn't it? Let's pray. Lord, I certainly do thank you for sending your Son to take our sins. And I just pray our worship will be pleasing in your sight. Not just tonight when we sing and raise our hands and things, but Lord, it's tomorrow and the next day and when we intermix among people and it's some of the things we talked about, mending a quarrel and forgiving. And Lord, you are asking us to be true worshipers in spirit and truth. And it's in the little things. You tell us those who are faithful in the little things. I pray, Lord, just as the shepherds long ago left to see what was told to them by the angels and left sharing the good news with everyone they met, just as Mary and Joseph were obedient to you, just as the Magi came bearing gifts for the king, I pray we will discover a joy through the power of your Spirit this Christmas. As your word declares, not by might, not by power, but by thy Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Amen.